بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آل الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا فضائل رحمتك يا رحمة الله. إن شاء الله we are studying today lesson 27. This lesson is about the ways to prove prophethood. When someone claims to be a prophet, then we need to be able to verify that. There are different ways to verify that someone is a true prophet. Sometimes we have a history of that person. So a person that we have been living with for many years and have always seen in him honesty, truthfulness, sound understanding, wisdom, so that we have full trust in him. If such person says that I have received a message from God, we should trust him. So the people of Mecca who knew the prophet, first of all being from a very noble background, and also knowing him in person for 40 years, and everyone considered him as the most honest person, as the most truthful person in Mecca. For them, this was enough. You know the story that once the Prophet addressed them and said, you know, if I tell you that there are enemies who want to attack you or Mecca behind this mount, would you accept me? They said, yes, we have never heard any lie from you. So the Prophet said, I warn you about the punishment of the Day of Judgment. So one way is to have personal relation with the Prophet and be sure about his trustworthiness and truthfulness. The other way is through the introduction made by another prophet. So when we have already established that someone is a prophet, okay, then he recommends another person. He says, this is a prophet too. So we believe in that prophet based on the first one. Of course, for the first one, we have to establish it, separately. So you cannot, when two people come and each of them says the other one is prophet, you accept, you say, okay, because each of them, you have to first establish that the first one is a prophet, and then he says that the other one is also a prophet. Maybe they live together, maybe one informs you in advance that a person with such characteristics would come after me. So we believe in. The third is to have miracles, mu'jiza. And in this lesson, we want to expand on mu'jiza. Because sometimes we may not have personal relation with the Prophet. Or maybe we have personal relation, but the Prophet is, for example, the one who has been Prophet from a very young age. It's not that everyone becomes prophet at the age of 40. That, for example, Isa alayhi salam said, I was a prophet, when I was the cradle, or for example, other prophets, sometimes they were very young. So, we need mu'jiza. What is mu'jiza? Mu'jiza is a term which literally means something that makes a person or a group of people unable to do, makes them, you know, fail in doing it. Because it comes from ajz. Ajz means having no capability, no power. Okay, ajz. In Arabic, they call very old ladies ajuz. Maybe it is because then the body becomes very weak and they cannot, you know, function. Okay? So, mu'jiza is something, I'm saying literally, something that make a person or group of people unable to function, unable to do something. Okay? This is the literal meaning. From a, you know, literal point of view, for example, we can use it for a virus. We can use it for a bad thing or good thing. Yeah? Something that make a person unable to move, unable to do something, unable to function. Okay? Sometimes it can be a good thing, sometimes a bad thing. It comes from ajz. But technically, mu'jiza is used by Muslim scholars in the sense which is very narrowly defined. There is a definition in the book which is slightly different from the definition in classic books of theology. I think Ayatollah Nisbah wanted to make it maybe simple. What is in the book is this. Mu'jiza, or miracle, is an extraordinary act that with the blessing of Allah, by the leave of Allah, by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who claims to be a prophet does, which proves his truthfulness. So there are a few elements here. An extraordinary act. So we are talking about an extraordinary act. Something which is not possible to be, you know, done by everyone. Okay? Extraordinary act. But among extraordinary acts, there are things which are not miracles. For example, there are people who have some special power. For example, there are people who can read your mind. There are magicians who can do things that are not ordinary. There are people who can look at a train and make the train stop. There are people who can, for example, you know, maybe asleep on nails and nothing happened to them. Okay? So these are extraordinary, but it's not that these are prophets. So first we say an extraordinary act. This leaves aside some, you know, some of the things which are not miracles. But then we say a person who also claims to be a prophet. So if an extraordinary act is performed by someone who doesn't claim to be a prophet, this is not mu'jiza. For example, if imams alayhi salam do something which is extraordinary, this is not called mu'jiza. We call them karama. Okay? Karama means something extraordinary performed by a saint, by a holy person. Ordinary people cannot do like that, but still it's not mu'jiza. There is also another reason why we say should be brought by a person who is claiming to be a prophet. It's not in the book, I will mention later. So, a person who claims to be a prophet And also, this should be something that only with the blessing of Allah can happen. In the sense that not people who are ordinary, you know, who are normal, who have no special support from Allah, they are not able to do it. You can be doing extraordinary things, but at the same time, you may be a person who is a bad person. Sometimes people just learn how to do these things or do some exercises, you know, they put some exercises, you know, and some kind of pressure on themselves, you know, they do some kind of things in order to strengthen their spiritual power. In some of my lectures on spirituality, I have explained this, that in Islam, we are not after strengthening our soul. This is not our main target, main aim. In some types of spirituality, they try to strengthen the soul so that you can get access to some type of power. In Islam, we are after purification of the soul. Okay? So we don't want to become spiritual because then I can, you know, tell you what is in your mind. Or for example, when you lose something, you know, I tell you, you know, for example, you have left it, you know, in the car. This is not the aim of Islamic spirituality. Sometimes I hear, you know, some people say, you know, our Sheikh is great because he can tell you, you know, what problems you have. You know, he looks at your picture and says, you know, this is not the sign of success. If it is not the sign of failure, because if someone has this power, first of all, he is not interested in this. And secondly, there is no reason to say this. I'm not saying it's necessarily a sign of being a bad person, but might be a sign of being a bad person, but definitely not a sign of being a good person. Definitely this is not something that can guarantee. Okay? So if I tell you what you have eaten, you know, in the last, you know, few weeks, this doesn't mean that I am a special person. There are Hindus who can do that. There are Buddhists who can do that. Maybe there are atheists who can do that. This is not important. Purification of the soul is important. And purification of the soul can be understood by not these things. Purification of the soul can be understood by me being able to say, I made a mistake. If you see that, I can tell you easily, I made mistakes, I can say, Alhamdulillah, our Sheikh is great. He is a person that in front of everybody says, I made mistake. I didn't know. This is a sign of, possible sign, of course, maybe sometimes people pretend, you know. Even this can be done with dishonesty. But if someone really says, I don't know, I make mistakes in front of everyone. This is very difficult. This shows that this person has no love for dunya, no love for fame, no love for position. This means that this person has worked on his soul. Yeah? So, some people, by working on their soul and, you know, exercising the soul, they have gained some power. They can do extraordinary things. They can do magician, they can do, you know, telepathy, they can do many things. But this is not showing that this person is a good person, or if he claims to be a prophet, this doesn't mean that he's a prophet. You remember the story, I have mentioned this many times, that there was a person in the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam who attracted many people. And people were very impressed. And he had no faith. And still people were impressed. Imam alayhi salam asked, you know, who is this person? What is he doing? They said, you know, this is a man that can inform about everything. You ask him secret things and he informs you. So Imam alayhi salam asked him, How did you gain this power? He said, I resisted against my temptations. So if I wanted something, I didn't go for it. Okay? So for example, if it was hot weather and I wanted, you know, cool drink, I didn't drink or I drank something warm. If I was very hungry, I didn't eat. When hunger was, you know, because sometimes after some time hunger, you know, is not felt, then I ate afterwards. Or I didn't, you know, eat anything delicious. I didn't, you know, sleep except a little. So anything that my nafs wanted, I didn't go for it. Okay, this gives you great power. Even if you can try this for 30 days, 40 days, do this, you will see, you will gain lots of power. But this doesn't necessarily mean you have made achievement. Of course, it's good, you know, to control yourself, but doesn't necessarily mean that you have sorted all the out of all the problems. So Imam asked, do you like to be a Muslim? Does your nafs want to be a Muslim? He said, no. So Imam said, now according to your principle, you should become Muslim. So he accepted to become Muslim. And then he said, now I don't see anything. I lost my knowledge. Imam said, because when you had no faith, that knowledge was the reward for your actions. You know, you put some pressure on yourself, you know, you did some struggle. That was your reward in dunya. You were enjoying that. Now it is saved for your akhirah. So sometimes some ulama who are very pious and, you know, very high in their spirituality, they are worried to do anything special because in this way they believe their reward will be reduced, you know? So maybe they can give you, for example, some kind of healing, but they are worried. Because it's like them using some of the saving. Okay? So they may just pray. Because there is a difference between praying for someone healing and give him healing. Give him healing means that you are using your saving. They may do it for, you know, good reason. You know, for example, if they feel really that person is in, you know, so they may do it despite the fact that might not be good for them. But some people are hesitant. In any case, there are people who can do extraordinary acts, but not necessarily according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other thing is that this person who is doing this extraordinary act, and it is according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should be consistent. Sometimes a person does something and we know that this is extraordinary. And we know that this extraordinary act cannot be accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but still that person is not a prophet. How?
It's one off.
Pardon?
It's a one off.
No, it's okay even if it is one off. Sometimes the extraordinary act comes against what this person wanted. For example,
can you sort the mic out?
Pardon?
Can you sort the mic out?
Some classes can't hear you.
Okay. It seems that using this mic is extraordinary.
Thank you.
In terms of America's interest.
Pardon?
In terms of America's interest, America's are only for profit.
Miracles are for prophets, yeah. If it is for holy people, like imams, we don't call it miracle, we call it karama. Of course, in English they may call it miracle, but I mean Islamically, we have mu'jiza and we have karama.
So what's the difference?
The difference is karama is not coming with the claim of prophethood. Inshallah, I will explain all this. Okay. There were cases in the history that there were false prophets. You may have heard, for example, Musaylama al-Kathab, the liar. Sometimes these people claimed to be prophets. And people asked them for mu'jiza. They said, okay, I do mu'jiza. And they did something extraordinary that no one else could do it. So it seems that Allah was involved, but it came against what they wanted. For example, there was a well, water, and water was very little. So people said, you know, if you are a prophet, please pray, you know, we have more water. So after what he did, like, I don't know, he prayed or, you know, he, you know, spilled into the well, it become totally dry. So no one can do this. Who can, you know, dry out a well like this in few seconds? If you have a well in home and you want to dry it out, it charges a lot. This person was able to do this, but it shows that he was a liar, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to prove it in front of people. Okay? So, an extraordinary act that a person who claims to be a prophet brings, which shows that it is according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is compatible with the wishes of this person. Okay? And something which is not in the book, but in the classic books is mentioned, and also must be coming with challenge, tahaddi. The tahaddi is a term here, challenge. It means that he confidently says no one else can bring anything like this. Okay?
Challenge.
Because sometimes people do extraordinary things, but they are not sure whether other people can do the same or not. If someone is a magician, he can do, you know, various strange things, but he's always worried maybe someone else comes and does the same or even better. There is no confidence. So these elements should be there. It must be with challenge. For example, like Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, with respect to the Quran, he challenged, he said, this is the word of God. If you say it is not word of God, bring something like the Quran. Then he said, at least bring 10 surah like Quran. Then he said, bring one surah like Quran. Okay? So he made this challenge. There is one technical point here. Why you say it must come with claim of being a prophet? Why an extraordinary act which is done by a person who claims to be a prophet is a sign of being a prophet? But if he doesn't claim to be a prophet, it's not a sign of. The answer is this. If a person claims to be prophet, it means that guidance of people here is at risk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not let a false prophet to do something extraordinary, which can misguide people. because people may believe in this person. As long as he has not claimed that I am a prophet, he may do some extraordinary things. But if he claims, you know, for example, this person who claimed to be a prophet and, you know, made that well dry. If he had not made that claim, maybe nothing was happening. Maybe even he was able to do some special things. But when he claims to be a prophet and he is not, then Allah is against him, because he is misguiding people. Okay? Or sometimes maybe a person is a good person and he is not a prophet. He's a imam. He doesn't claim to be prophet. So the claim is important as one element in the definition of mu'jiza. So I can say in this way, you know, so the definition, technical definition of mu'jiza can be like this. An extraordinary act that a person who claims to be a prophet does in accordance with his claim, with his wish, and is also accompanied by challenge, by tahaddi. So there are four elements. This is not exactly in the book, so yeah, please write down. So four elements are here: extraordinary, by a person who claims to be a prophet, it comes in accordance to his wish and claim. So if he says, you know, I give you healing, then you are healed. If he says, you know, I am giving life to a dead person, that happens. And also be challenged. Okay? So these are four elements. Now you realize that mu'jaza is different from magic. Although magic is extraordinary, but magic is something which is possible to be done by anyone. You go and learn. Any person can go and learn magic, but no one can teach you how to bring miracles. Okay? Magic is something that you can learn. And always there have been people who are doing magic. Yeah? You always have had in the history people who are doing magic. This is not a sign of being a special person. There is a very important point in the book, which also Allama Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayhi in Al-Mizan, Volume 1, explains. When you have mu'jiza, means you have a power to do something extraordinary according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will always succeed. No one can overcome and stop you. But in the case of other types of extraordinary actions, another power can get involved and stop. For example, maybe there is a person who can read people's mind. But sometimes in presence of a person, he cannot do this. Okay? So sometimes when a person with strong will is there, he stops him doing this. There is a story. I mentioned this story not as a kind of proof. I'm just saying as an example to clarify the point. One of the contemporary spiritual masters who used to live in Mashhad, and he's very famous. So he used to go to India sometimes. And he had a murid, a kind of disciple. You know murid? Someone who believes in you, you know, and loves you, and, you know, listens to you, and, you know, murid. And this murid was very much respectful to him. Of course, this is one of the also tests for good people. Do you like to have murid or you don't want to have murid? You know, this is a big test. So, this person had this murid there. Once, in one of his trips, he saw that he is not showing that much interest to him. So, it was not important for him, but he wanted just to know what happened. So he said, what has happened? He said, I have found someone better than you. There is a person, non-Muslim, who can take the soul out of body and bring back. So he says, we went together to see this person. He was living, you know, in mountain or, you know, somewhere outside town. So we met him, and then that person, in order to show his power, took the soul of this murid out of his body. He wanted to prove himself. But then, when he wanted to bring back, he couldn't. He tried hard and he couldn't. And he realized that this person has stopped him. So he started begging him. Because then was, you know, causing death to that person. So, you know, please, you know, let me bring him back. So he said, okay, but the condition is that you don't do this anymore in future. So he brought him back, and then he told to his, you know, ex-murid that you should not go after such people. These are not real, you know, masters. These are just people who want to attract.
What is this person's advice? This person was
maybe. I don't mention his name.
You don't mention his name.
No. Someone from Mashhad.
Like Ayatollah or something.
Yeah, someone from Mashhad. Yeah. Okay. The story is important. The person name might not make changes. So, you see, there is a special power, but this can be overcome by another person. The magicians who were brought by Pharaoh, they did something special, yeah? And everyone there was surprised. But Musa alayhi salam threw the stick, and with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talqafu ma ya'fakun, you know, ate everything, swallowed everything. But mu'jiza is something that no one can stop or overcome. When Isa alayhi salam, for example, gives life to the dead, no one can stop this. No one, you know, can, for example, you know, pray or do anything to stop this. Okay? When Allah saves Ibrahim in fire, no one can stop this. So, this is also a very important thing, that mu'jiza is something that can never be defeated, can never be stopped, can never be overcome by other people, other powers, because it is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing is that in the Quran, we have many examples of mu'jiza. But as you know, the Quran, instead of using the term mu'jiza, uses the term ayah. Ayah means a sign. Okay? Because for the Quran, what is important is that this is a sign to show that this person is from God. Okay? It is true that it makes other people unable to compete. But that is not the main focus of the Quran. The main focus of the Quran is this is a sign that this person is from God. And also in the Quran, sometimes mu'jiza is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes it is attributed to an angel or to a prophet. And you can understand why, because if you remember, we had this about Tawhid Af'ali. We said everything in this world is an act of God, but at the same time, we have a hierarchy of agents, and sometimes we can attribute something also to a human being or to an angel. You remember we talked about, for example, death. We can say Allah takes the souls when we die. Allahu yatawaffal anfusa hina mawtaha. We can say the angel of death takes away the soul. Yatawaffakum malakul maut. Or we can say angels, not just the angel. Angels. Tawaffathu rusuluna. Because the angel of death has some angels who work for him.
Yes.
Okay? So you can say this is an action of God. You can say that this is an action of angel of death. You can say an action of angels. So mu'jiza can be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or can be attributed to an angel. For example, that angel who said to Lady Maryam salamullah alayha, la'ahaba laka ghulaman zakiya. He said, I want to give you a gift, a clean, a pious, pure boy. But that angel is not doing this except if it is wanted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you know, it's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can also attribute it to the Prophet. For example, Allah says to Isa alayhi salam, وَإِذْ تَخْلُقُ مِنَ الطِّينِ كَهَيْئَةِ الطَّيْرِ فَتَنْفُخُ فِيهِ فَيَكُونُ طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِ. Okay? So Allah says, you create a statue of bird from clay. تَخْلُقُ مِنَ الطِّينِ كَهَيْئَةِ a statue. فَتَنْفُخُ فِيهِ then you blow into it. فَيَكُونُ طَيْرًا then it becomes a bird, but بِإِذْنِ. Okay? So this is also another point to remember. The other point is, which is at the end of the lesson, when you see mu'jiza committed by or brought by a prophet, it proves rationally that he is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because, as we said, the argument is that no one has this power unless he's supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you believe in what he tells you in the form of revelation because of you establishing his trustworthiness. So, mu'jiza doesn't directly prove the truth of what he says. Okay? The truth of what he says, we accept it according to his truthfulness. So, this is what we call ta'abbudi. For example, Prophet says, you know, there is akhirah, there is hell, there is heaven, you know, these type of things. Why we accept? Because with mu'jiza, we establish that he is a person who speaks on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then whatever he says is accepted. So this is indirectly supported by miracle. So miracle establishes that the Prophet, then we accept whatever he says with the trust that we have in him. Is it clear? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has a hadith about mu'jiza when he was asked why there is mu'jiza for prophets or imams in the literal sense, of course, here. Not literal, but in the sense that it is used also for imams. Because in kalam, we don't use it for imam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, according to this hadith, which is in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 11, page 71, said, وَالْمُعْجِزَةُ علامة لله. معجزة is a sign for Allah. Means sign from Allah, but لله means for Allah. Means sign that comes from Allah and shows Allah. علامة. You know علامة? علامة means sign. Mark. لا يعطيها. Allah doesn't give this. إلا أنبياءه ورسله وحججه. Allah doesn't give this sign to anyone except His prophets and messengers and hujjaj. Hujjah, plural is hujjaj. You know, it's translated as proof, but it's not very accurate translation. Hujjah is a person that indicates the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a sign of will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pardon? Hujjah is argument, but not here. When we use it for a person, we cannot say this person is an argument. Or we cannot say this person is a proof. Yeah? So, the best thing that I have found is in Ziyarat al-Yasin. As-salamu alayka ya hujjat Allah wa dalila iradati. So hujjah is a person or something that is a sign of will of God. It means that by referring to him or that thing, Quran is also hujjah, Imam is hujjah, Prophet is hujjah. It means by referring to this, you can understand what Allah wants. And on the Day of Judgment, you can argue. If Allah says, why you did that? You say, I followed your hujjah. Also, Allah can argue, why you didn't do that, although I provided you with hujjah. Okay? So, both us and Allah can use hujjah. لِيُعْرَفَ بِهِ صِدْقُ الصَّادِقْ من كذب الكاذب. I repeat, والمعجزة علامة لله. معجزة is a sign from God. لا يعطيها إلا أنبياءه ورسله وحججه. Allah doesn't give except to His prophets and messengers and حجج. ليعرف به, so that it can be known by it. With the help of this mu'jiza, it can be known. صدق الصادق من كذب الكاذب. The truthfulness of an honest person from the lie of a liar. So it means you can distinguish who is honest and truthful and who is dishonest. Who is a liar. Okay? Lesson 28 is about some questions that are normally asked about mu'jiza. One of the questions is, what is the relation between mu'jiza or miracle and causality? The principle of causality, illiyat. We had discussion before about illiyat. The question is, what is the relation between miracles and the principle of causality? In other words, are miracles exceptions to causality? For example, if we want a person to have Shefa, healing. You should take medicine. But this person gives Shefa to a person who is ill without medicine. Or a person who is blind, Isa alayhi salam is enabling them to see without any operation, without any surgery. Does it mean that there is no cause here? There is no causality, no cause and effect relation? Or if a lady wants to have a child, she should be married. When Jibreel says, you know, Allah has sent me to give you a son. So is it an exception to causality? And what makes this question very important is because causality is an intellectual, a rational principle. And rational principles cannot have exceptions. Anything contingent needs a cause to bring it to existence. You remember these things?
Yes.
I am, you know, worried you if you forget, you know, these things. Because, you know, Hose studies is like making a building. Everything you learn is serving you for higher levels. If you forget, it's like building, and then the lower levels are going away. So then after a few years, everything will collapse. So you are studying Hose 5 years and nothing is there. Okay? Because the aim is not to get a certificate. You can get a certificate and forget everything. But here, you are building a castle. You are building something. So the foundation is very important. Especially the first few years is very important. The first few years is the foundation. Always in future, you need, you know, what you learn in lessons, for example, year 8. If you forget, still you can function. But what you learn in year 1, year 2, you cannot function. You know, like anything, you know, if you go to a school, if you forget just what you have learned in year 1, you cannot function. You understand? So, in learning, especially in Hose, so you have to try to remember. Even if it needs to put pressure on yourself, you know, repeat, discuss, write, you know, all these things. Okay. We had this discussion that everything which is contingent, it means that it has equal relation to existence and non-existence. So in order to exist, or even in order not to exist, there must be a cause. You remember?
Yes.
If it exists, it's because there is something that gives it existence. If it doesn't exist, still there is a cause. What is the cause for non-existence? What is the cause for non-existence? Non-existence of the cause of existence. Non-existence of the cause of existence. Adamul illa, illatun lil-adam. Okay? Adamul illa, illatun lil-adam. Okay. This is something that is rational. How can this accept and admit exception? Anything which is contingent, okay? So the relation between this and existence and non-existence is the same. This doesn't make difference whether it is in the time of Isa alayhi salam, or the Prophet Muhammad, or any other time. So, no one should think that mu'jaza is an exception to causality. Causality has no exception. But, we have different types of causes. Some of the causes are known to us. Some of the causes are not known to us. Even in natural causes, sometimes there are causes which are known to us, and sometimes there are causes which are not known to us. And there are also supernatural causes. Okay? So we have natural causes which are known to us, we have natural causes which are not known to us, and there are supernatural causes. For example, sometimes a person has some type of illness. There is a treatment that people know. Maybe there is a treatment that one person knows, but still it's natural cause. For example, he knows a medicine, a herb, something that can help. So he's using a natural cause that is not known to other people. But sometimes it's a supernatural cause. For example, when we pray, make dua for shifa, we are not using any unknown medicine. We are not giving him anything to eat or drink or to take. This is supernatural. Okay? When we give sadaqa and someone's life becomes longer, this is different from telling him that if you eat this, you will live longer. Okay? Both are good, but these are two different ways. And you should have both, of course. You should eat in the way that you can live longer, but also you should pay sadaqa, you should do salih rahim to live longer. But these are two different channels. Okay? Two different. So, we have natural cause, we have supernatural cause, and even in natural cause, it can be ordinary, familiar to us, known to us, or it can be extraordinary, unknown to us. Mu'jiza is something that is definitely based on causality, but maybe we don't know the cause, either because it is natural and unknown, or it is supernatural. Okay? So, we don't have any issue with causality. Allama Tabatabai has a beautiful explanation in Al-Mizan, which is very helpful in understanding the role of the person who is involved. He says, the person who is bringing mu'jizah, the prophet who is doing the mu'jizah, he himself is involved in this process. You know, normally maybe what people think, for example, you know, we have mu'jizah of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, that when he asked Allah, Rabbi arani kayfa tuhyi al-mawta, my Lord, please show me how you revive the dead. Allah said, you know, khudh arba'atan min at-tayr, take four birds, and you know, then he mixed their flesh, put on different mounts, ajal ala kulli jabalin juz'an min hunna fasur hunna, then call them, ya'tinaka sa'yan, they will come quickly to you. What people normally understand is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed to him his power, his Allah's power for giving life back to the birds. So Ibrahim is an observer. But Allama Tabatabai says no. Allah gave life to those birds through Ibrahim. So when he called them, this gave them life. Because Allama says the question was not how the birds are revived. Look at this. This is another reason why you have to learn Arabic. He didn't say Rabbi arni kayfiyat ihya al-mawta. No. Kayfa tuhyi al-mawta. How you revive the dead. You understand? He said, show me how you revive the dead. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him by making him able to give life to those birds. Or in the case of Isa alayhi salam, Isa was giving life to the bird. He was giving life to the, for example, dead person. So, this is very important. That in the case of mu'jizah, the soul of that prophet is also involved. So, it's a sign of that person being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah wants to use him as his agent. Yes?
Do you think it's also a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him able to do it? So, to show Allah's capability. It's like, Alam naj'al lahu 'aynayn. We're not giving him eyes. see. So if Allah makes His servant able to do it, so it's more proof of His own power, is it not?
Because you know, the question was not whether Allah can do it or not. The question is how He does it. Okay? Another issue about mu'jiza is that prophets have had different types of mu'jiza sometimes. I'm not saying they were always, you know, differences. But the famous mu'jiza that we know were different. For example, mu'jiza of Prophet Musa ala Nabiyyina wa alihi wa sallam was what? Was something about that stick and, you know, making it a dragon, or for example, you know, his hand becoming, you know, white and shining. Mu'jiza of Isa ala Nabi also was giving life to the bird, or for example, someone who is not able to see, or someone who has problem in his skin. Okay? Tubruhul akmaha wal abras. Mu'jiza of our Prophet was Quran. Of course, Prophet had different mu'jiza, but the main mu'jiza. So why there is difference? There is a hadith which explains this difference. Again, in Bihar al-Anwar, the same volume I gave you, the page before, there's a hadith that it says, mu'jiza of Prophets were according to the time that Prophet was sent. In the time of Musa alayhi salam, magic was very, very important. Okay? Magic was very, very important. Even today, for some faith communities, still magic is very important.
They do magic a lot.
Yeah. So, in the time of Musa alayhi salam, magic was very important. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Musa alayhi salam able to bring something that could make the people who were very impressed by magic able to understand that this is only possible to be done by someone who is supported by God. Something that even magicians cannot do. And indeed, magicians were the first to admit that this is from God. You understand? In the time of Isa alayhi salam, medicine was very important. Perhaps because illness also was a lot, or, you know, there were, you know, epidemic disease, whatever, and medicine was also very important. So Allah gave him a type of mu'jiza that was very important because it was related to healing, giving shafa. But every doctor knew that this is not something that, you know, you can learn and do it in medicine. Yeah, no doctor can, you know, give life to a dead, for example, you know, bird, or, you know, someone who has not been able to see all his life, you know, give him, you know, ability. Even, also you should remember, you know, in barakats, don't think that Musa alayhi salam, or Isa alayhi salam, they were using advanced magic or advanced medicine. No. Because, you know, sometimes a doctor has new techniques or new medicine that other doctors don't know. But when they see this, they say, okay, this is advanced medicine. He has made some, you know, new ways. A magician does something that other magicians don't know, but they say this is magic. But what Musa did was not magic. It was not advanced magic. It was of different nature. Magicians, when they saw this, they didn't say, oh, you are better than us in magic. No, they realized this is totally different. What Isa alayhi salam did was not advanced medicine that other doctors said, okay, over years we also learn how to become like him. It's different. You know? If I give you, you know, some medicine that other people don't know, you say, okay, I will also learn. I need some time. But if by just looking at someone, or just, you know, for example, you know, praying, I give shifa, then they say, no, this is not medicine. This is something else. You understand? So, Isa alayhi salam had a mu'jiza which suited that time. Okay? It was not medicine, but it was suitable for a time that medicine was very important. In the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, language was very important. Arabs were very eloquent. You know, they were very particular about their language. They were so much, you know, concerned about the language that when they had a child and the child was just learning how to speak, they were sending the child to desert so that he is not affected by foreigners and, you know, even the Arabs in Mecca, because they were, you know, in touch with other people and their accent might be damaged. Okay, so they were sending their children to tribes, you know, people in desert, so that they have pure Arabic accent. You see, even today, no one does this. That, for example, if they want, you know, pure English, they send them, you know, I don't know, somewhere in Yorkshire or whatever, I don't know, very, very. So for them, that was very important. Or, for example, those 7 pieces of poem, Mu'allaqat al-Sam, they were like masterpieces of Arabic poetry, and they used to keep them inside Kaaba. Arabic language was at the peak, and they were very impressed by it, very careful about it. It was a sign of honor and prestige. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam a type of miracle that was exactly what was suitable for that people. Okay? And those people, like the doctors, when they saw Isa, they said, this is not medicine. The magicians, when they saw Musa, they said, this is not, you know, magic. Those people who saw Quran, listened to the Quran, either they believed, or if they were arrogant, they said, this is magic. This man is mad. Because sometimes they said he's sahir, sometimes they said he's majnun, because they didn't have any rational way of explaining this. And what was amazing was that Prophet was using the same words. Yeah. The Prophet was using the same words, but they were surprised. Why? When we are using these words, we cannot make it like that. You know, like a person that cooks and uses the same ingredients, but then you want to eat your fingers with that food. And another person uses that ingredient, but it doesn't become like that. So these people said, you know, we cannot explain this. Maybe he is doing some magic on us. Maybe, you know, he is under the influence of jinns. Because Majnun, you know, in that they had this idea that jinns, of course, this idea is correct, but not necessarily every mad person is like this. But in the past, they had this idea that every person who becomes mad is because jinns have taken his control. So this is why they were calling Prophet Majnun, in the sense that these are jinns who are influencing. Not in the sense that Prophet is not rational, in the sense that he has the power of jinns. You know? Because I was reflecting a lot on this, why they say Majnun. Majnun cannot even make a normal speech. Yeah? A mad person cannot even write a piece of poem, the reason they were saying that he is Majnun is because they wanted to say that this is the power of jinns that he is using. Or he is Sahir, he is using the power of magic. But these are arrogant people. Those who were not arrogant, even if they were atheist, polytheist, pagan, when they heard, they said, this is not word of a human being. You remember, I think the story, we had this story before, that they decided to make something like Quran, so that they can defeat this challenge of the Prophet. So they chose three people who were the best in poetry, in eloquence, and they said, we give you 1 year. We commission you for 1 year. After 1 year, each of you brings what he has produced, we put them together and becomes like Quran. So after 1 year, when they met again, each of them said he was stuck with the first verse that he wanted to compete. And those verses are registered. We know which verses are those verses. So they were not able to bring anything like Quran. So the mu'jiza that Allah gave to the Prophet suited that time. But there is something also beautiful here. In the case of Musa alayhi salam, we needed a mu'jiza which suited that time, but not necessarily time of Jesus or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the time of Jesus, we needed mu'jiza which suited his time, not necessarily before or after. In the case of Prophet Muhammad, we are in need of a mu'jiza which suits his time and also suits future, because no prophet is coming after him. And again, this is the beauty of language. It's the beauty of word. If our prophet was making, some birds from clay and then giving life, that was not something that today we can benefit from. Of course, we believe in all these miracles, but something that we had no access to it. Our prophet's miracle is something that, first of all, we all have access. So Allah gave Prophet a live mu'jiza. You understand? It's a live mu'jiza. And inshallah, next semester, when we have this course on Quran, we'll explain that Quran is really alive. Quran is not, na'uzu billah, dead. Quran is an ongoing reality. Okay? Inshallah, we'll explain this. But even if someone doesn't understand this, at least the text is here. We can look at it. We can investigate. And still, this text is challenging us. If someone is in doubt about the Quran, can bring something like Quran. Why people are troubling themselves, attacking Muslims and Islam? Just spend few millions of pounds if you can, bring something like Quran, then all Muslims have to hide themselves. We'll be embarrassed. For 14 centuries, we were saying no one can bring like Quran. Now we are embarrassed. So why you don't try this instead of using, bombs? It seems that they know that they cannot do like this. Okay? So, this revelation is available to us in the form of these words. Also, not only it's available to us, also, are you here? Also, the significance of word is something that is always going to be there. In the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people were very impressed about language, about speech, okay? But still, they were jahil. By advancement of science and knowledge, not only the significance of Quran would not be reduced, but it will increase. century by century, attention of human beings to text become more important. Now we go back, you know, to the text of several thousand years ago. For example, you know, I don't know, a poet in Greece, you know, has written something or made, you know, it's important. You know, you say, you know, what is your PhD about? He says, I'm working on this text, you know, in ancient Greek. So people spend, you know, several years to study a text, which is, there are people who work hard on, reading, for example, ancient, you know, writings. Text, reading, words, language are becoming more and more important. So Allah has given a prophet a mu'jiza which suited his time and which suits all other times, and at the same time it's becoming more and more important. The people in Akhir al-Zaman appreciate Quran more than the people who were in the time of the prophet. Generally speaking, I'm not talking about exceptions, but generally speaking, the amount of understanding and, you know, the extent we understand the Quran, we appreciate the Quran today, is not like those people who were in that time, because they were very early in their understanding of the Quran. Even sometimes they didn't understand that much. Even, you know, one of the famous figures of that time, when he was asked about some of the words of the Quran, he didn't know. You know, when he was asked about what is Abban, he didn't know what is Abban. Then he was told, Allah explains himself in the next verse. Mata'an lakum wa la'an'amikum. Fakihatan wa abba mata'an lakum wa la'an'amikum. Abban means mata'an la'an'amikum. Food for animals. So even they were not understanding the literal meaning. I'm not saying everyone. No, there were people who were understanding, like Ibn Abbas, for example. But not everyone. But now, alhamdulillah, we have lots of books, lots of ulama, lots of mufassirin. You know, there is a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Surah Qul Huwa Allah, and, you know, some other verses, like Surah Hadid or Hash, because there are people in Akhir al-Zaman, Aqwamun Mut'ammiqoon. There are people in Akhir al-Zaman who would be very deep, according to one interpretation, very deep and profound in their understanding. So there are things that Allah sent 14 centuries ago, but for whom? For the people who come in Akhir al-Zaman. You know, like sometimes you say something, you know that the people who are around, they don't know that much. But you say, people who come later, they will appreciate. You know how many times Rasulullah said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless, something like this, نَظَّرَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي فَوَعَاهَا. May Allah bless, something like, you translate like bless. Bless the one who listens to my word and grasp it, and then pass it on to the people who have not heard. And then there is a beautiful also point in some hadiths. رُبَّ حَامِلِ فِقْهٍ لَيْسَ بِفَقِيهٍ. There are people who carry knowledge, but they don't understand knowledge. There are people who passed on the hadith of the Prophet, but they didn't understand themselves the value. Or إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ أَفْقَهُ مِنْ. Either he is not faqih himself, or he is faqih, but he passes on to someone who is more faqih, more knowledgeable. Okay? So, Quran is a miracle that is passed on to us, and inshallah, we, if we are qualifying ourselves, would be not only to understand it like the people who were in that age, we can better understand, we can better appreciate. Of course, this is not, you know, something that we praise ourselves because of this. This is something natural. It must be like that. Because we had the benefit of 14 centuries of a scholarship. I'm not saying we are necessarily better people than those people, but I'm saying that we have better ability to understand. Okay? We have many ulama, many books, so we are in a better position. So this is also one point I wanted to mention, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given different types of miracles, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam Quran as his main miracle. There are other miracles, but this is his main miracle. Inshallah, we will continue this discussion, inshallah, next week. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin.
Oh, that's right.